Tim Farron, the Lib Dem leader, was on his way to the Judge Business School here in Cambridge to talk about the impact of Brexit for a business forum this afternoon when Susie Thorpe waylaid him. This is an opportunity for Tim Farron to listen and to interact with entrepreneurs and businesses here in Cambridge and hear how Brexit challenges startups too.
It's refreshing that yes. you are now going to the Impact of Brexit Forum at the Judge Business School
yep.
with a listening mode. That's what it says in the invitation, which I'm really, yep. really interested. So what are you thinking of achieving this afternoon at the forum?
We want to hear from businesses how they see Brexit affecting them, what they think the uncertainties are, what the best outcomes for them would be, and indeed what the worst outcomes would be. Because I think one thing I'm really keen to stress at the top level and in the detail is that it's not over yet. And there's lots of things that can be affected. Yes, Theresa May will trigger Article 50 next week. That's the beginning of a process. In the global sense, I guess, Liberal Democrats still believe that a referendum should be held on the deal at the end, given that the whole purpose of this conversation is that we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Mm. And at the end, people should have the chance to vote on that deal, vote for it, or indeed if they want to vote against it, we should be allowed to stay in the European Union. So I think that's fundamental. But on the other issues, whether we're in the single market, what kind of relationship we've got with the customs union, what happens with Erasmus, what happens with the right to remain of EU citizens working here, running their own businesses here, etc. The impact on the university, for example, of the fear that so many EU citizens feel about their future, what's happening in terms of recruitment and retention. All those things are very significant, and I don't want to make assumptions as to what people in Cambridge and Cambridgeshire more widely are concerned about. I know what I'm hearing elsewhere, but let's not assume it's the same everywhere.
Mm. So on that note then, of the recent Netherlands election that we've had, do you think that shows the beginning of a backlash against nationalistic populism?
I think it tells you that the victory for Donald Trump and the success of the Leave campaign here were not inevitable. And just as the success of the Liberal parties in the Netherlands was not inevitable either, you have to have a really strong message. And you have to listen to people. So the first thing I did post the referendum was to go out and make a specific bid to surround myself with people who voted Leave and find out why. And to understand what had put them in that position, those who'd always felt like that, and those who perhaps made their mind up in just the last few days or weeks of the campaign. And so for us, listening, trying to connect with people and speak to them in a language that is, you know, not politician speak, is hugely important. And yes, the Netherlands gives you hope and confidence that that liberal and progressive forces can win, but it shouldn't make you complacent. The French elections next, obviously, perhaps are a bigger test.
Mm. So you're going to be listening to entrepreneurs mainly this afternoon, aren't you? And talking, do you think? I mean, it's really lovely that you are saying that you want to listen. So do you think that you want to bring lots of it back, or are you going to give them some views as well? Are you?
Well, I think the idea is I start off with, you know, 5 minutes of me telling them what I think of the world, and then I shut up and listen to what they think of it. And an amount of what, you know, the views that I guess I have on the current situation are based upon what I reflect and hear from entrepreneurs around the country, people from larger business backgrounds and smaller. But we're beginning to find out more and more about what Brexit might mean without us being any way clear, I have to say. Brexit is, if you like, a blank sheet of paper onto which people who are very pro-Brexit have been able to project their you know, fantasy outcomes, their best preferred outcomes, that's a better way of putting it. But as the blank sheet of paper gets filled in, I think David Davis's comments last week at the Select Committee, so farmers face 30 to 40% tariffs on their produce, and indeed he was pretty clear that there would be no passporting for the financial services industry in the city and elsewhere. So beginning to get a sense that that blank sheet of paper is getting filled in. And as it gets filled in more and we get more detail, frankly, there's more room for people to say hang about. I might have voted Leave, but I didn't vote for that.
Absolutely. So, as we know, that Cambridge voted to remain last year, and Brexit means Brexit to the government at the moment, and you're hoping to find some answers to tackle the actual exit over Article 15. Is that right? And presumably, again, that's about today as well at Cambridge.
Yeah, Article 50, one of these, you know, things that slipped into the vernacular that we never even heard of, you know, 12 months ago, most people. Theresa May set herself this artificial date of triggering it around the end of March, and because she's got a majority and the Labour Party rolled over and let her do it, she's going to fulfil that, you know, artificial deadline. I'm bound to say, by the way, that jumping out of an aeroplane before you're sure you've got a parachute is, generally speaking, a foolish thing to do, shall we say. That is what she's done. She may or may not find a parachute at some point on the way down, but it doesn't make it any less of a foolish and risky thing to have done in the first place. But here's the thing. Nearly all the legal advice that I've seen says that you can revoke Article 50 within the two-year period. But that does mean she's only got 2 years for probably one of the most complex set of deals ever. It took, I don't know how long, for Greenland, the only other place that's ever left the European Union, to leave, when basically all they had to talk about was, you know, fish. So it's going to be a very complex couple of years. I hope we get the best possible deal. And you're more likely to get the best deal if the government doing the deal is being properly scrutinised and opposed back home. That's why we're important, because the Labour Party has basically chosen to go hand in hand with the Conservative government and let them do this.
And then one last question for you. Would you be keen for the Prime Minister to call a snap election?
Very interesting, actually. I mean, personally, from the Liberal Democrat point of view, being selfish, yes, we'd win Cambridge, I'm fairly confident. We'd massively increase the number of seats we've got, I'm sure. The problem is, you would then get, the Tory party would, for all the seats they would lose the Liberal Democrats, they'd gain a bunch from the Labour Party because of the chaos they're in. So we'll end up with a Conservative Party with a bigger majority, yes, a much stronger Liberal Democrats, that's always good. And she would take that as being a mandate for the hardest possible Brexit, when actually that wouldn't be what it was. It would be a reflection of the fact that the opposition is a shambles. And so personally, selfishly, for me as a Liberal Democrat leader, I'd love an early election. For the sake of the country, probably not.
That was Lib Dem leader there talking to Susie Thorpe. Apologies for all those bleeping and clicking and ticking noises in the background. I think Susie was interviewing him in a car while he was en route.